Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. This morning we're going to be continuing our series. It's called, What Are You Building Your Life On? Say that together. What? Building Your Life On. I want to tell you a little story. My phone rang 2 years ago, and I was surprised to hear the voice on the other end of the phone. It was a man named Al. He had been at our church for many years. He retired from his job, moved to Florida, and pretty much disappeared from our radar screen. So over about 20-year period, Al had been what I call a twice-a-month attender. Al only participated, though, in the church on Sunday mornings. He really didn't do much else with the church. He never got involved in Bible studies, never went to discipleship groups, and really just wasn't involved. He was always busy doing something else. But now, 10 years later, after he had left, Al's voice was different. When he called, he was calm, smooth, level-headed voice. Now he was tired and very low. And as he had me on the phone, he began his tale. He had struggled with alcohol, even when he was here in Maine. Although while he was working, his consumption was pretty much under control. But when he retired and moved to Florida, he moved away from the church, had more free time, and so obviously his drinking increased. He had made a life for himself. He had spent most of his time with his grandchildren. He even found a lady in Florida. He really wanted to marry her. But now, he was calling me in a crisis. Al had been arrested for DWI, and now had to go to court. And when he called me on the phone, he said, "Pastor, I know better. I do know I'm an alcoholic, and that I am not supposed to drink, and I know Jesus wants my life. I'm ready to make the change." I was glad. I encouraged him. I said, "Al, make the hard changes. You know what you have to do. You need to get right. I encourage you, do them." Al said, "Pastor, I will. I promise I will." But he did say one other thing. I think his words were, "I'll start tomorrow." How about you? Have you entered by the narrow gate? Have you heard about Jesus and the way he really wants you to live? But really, you would say you're really not that serious about becoming a Christian. After all, from your point of view, life is good. Things are okay. All that big talk about Jesus and religion, you really don't need any of it. Or maybe you have heard about Jesus and you made him the Lord of your life, but there's just a couple areas of your life that you know are not right. Wow. You can't shake them. As we approach our third week on this sermon, I really want to say to you, we find Jesus preaching to the crowd at the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end of the sermon, how many know he's going to drive home his point? He's going to show the contrast, but he's going to drive home his points. We know that. We know that what? There are two houses. One is built on the, and one is built on. We know there are two gates. One is wide and one is narrow. We know there's two paths to life. One is easy and one is difficult. You know there's two destinations, right? One's going to give you to life and the other one's going to give you destruction. And we always know there's two crowds of people. There are the what? There's the many, and then there are the few. Wow. This is all in Matthew chapter 7. But in general, Jesus, as I said to you in our giving this morning, he makes a contrast of religion. The whole sermon is three chapters, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, the longest sermon Jesus preached. But in it, he's comparing false religion which is religion of human achievement, right? We all know that religion, right? And then he's going to contrast false religion with true religion. And true religion is faith in the divine work of God. And we've gone through this. And I want to remind you, in Matthew chapter 3, as he starts his sermon, he says what? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? Poor in spirit people, theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. We know that, right? And so he's told them that, and he's made it clear. When you're poor in spirit, I told you last week, you're totally bankrupt. If you say, I'm poor in spirit, I'm going to heaven, then what Jesus is saying is what? You are totally bankrupt. Amen? There is no way you're going to heaven on your own. Blessed are you if you know this. Amen? And then Jesus goes on, and after he tells them you're completely bankrupt, then he says, I'm going to show you the difference between human achievement and God's work. Amen? We went through this last week. Human achievement is what? Based on what? You're good enough. Human achievement is able to say, I'm able to please God. Human achievement says, you and God work together. Human achievement says, I have a religion of merit, works, and self-righteousness. We're all going to heaven. I know the law. Jesus attacks prayer. He attacks people's giving. He attacks their serving. And he dismantles them completely so that they realize that by the end of the sermon, there is no way they're getting to heaven by human achievement. And all God's people said. Amen. Quite a sermon. But then he goes to the religion of divine work. And then he contrasts it and says, wait a minute. On this side, what? You're not good enough. You're not able to please God. God does all the work. Amen? Amen. Nothing you do for God matters. Thank God. And this religion of divine accomplishment, all is done by faith in Christ, in him and him alone. Amen? Amen? And then he goes on to compare the law with grace. And he said, you are dependent on the grace of God every single day of your life. And then he says, the only way is through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. We went over this last week. It was, it's quite a sermon he preached, amen? So let's go back and let's finish where we left off last week. Open up your Bibles to Matthew 7. And let's read these verse 13 and 14 Jesus gives. You all have your Bibles? We're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14. And I told you last week, entering through the narrow gate is not an invitation, correct? It is a what? Jesus didn't invite, he commanded. He said what? Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And how many are on that road? Many enter through it. But small is the gate. Narrow is the road that leads to life. And how many people are on that road? Few. This is the word of the Lord. So this morning, I really want to talk about, as I did last week, that the gate was a choice. And I really want to say to you, both ways are like their gates. Would you not agree? Both ways are like their gates. If you go through the narrow gate, then you are on the hard way. Correct? Does it make sense? Y'all got this? If you're going on the narrow gate, then you're going to be on the hard road. But if you want to go to the broad gate, then you're going to end up on the easy road. It's really a sequence. And I really want to say to you, know the sequence here. In these two verses, Jesus sets up a very simple sequence. And I want you to see the sequence. Can you put up the next slide? There's a sequence here. Can you go back one more? I think we missed one slide there. There you go. The sequence. So here's the sequence. The key to the words of Christ are very clear. You just follow the sequence. sequence says what? First there's the way. And then the way determines what? The way of life. And your way of life is going to determine what? Your destination. How many of you see the sequence? I mean, it was very, very clear, isn't it? It's very clear. You enter one of two gates. You live one of two ways of life. And you're going to experience one of two destinations. But I do want to say that once you enter through the narrow gate, you are now on the narrow road. Is that not true? You do not. Jesus never says you enter the narrow gate and you go to the wide road. Did he ever tell anyone to do that? That's not the sequence. That is not the sequence. The sequence is what? You go through that gate and you end up on that road. Yes, it's very clear. Remember the sequence. So this morning, I want to continue where I left off last week on the gate. And today, I really want to talk with you about two ways or two roads. So first, I want to define two ways or two roads. The two ways or the two roads really is your what? Way of life. It's your conduct. You all have that? What is it? When you're on that way, that's your what? That's your way of life. That's how you're going to live. It's your conduct. I want you to notice, though, in the picture, can you go to the next? Both are marked what? Both roads are marked what? Heaven. No one's preaching hell here, correct? We're all preaching what? We're all preaching heaven. I want you to realize that. No one's selling hell. Both roads want to go to heaven. But I want you to know the wide road there, which says you're going to heaven, where are you going? You're not going to heaven. You are going to be what? Destroyed. How many know that's what we're living in today? A lot of deception with this, right? Tremendous amount of deception here. And I want you to warn you about that, because I'm sure you have heard everyone's going to heaven. Let's just keep living the way we are. It's so filled with deception. But I also want you to look as you see here. How many know Christianity is more than just words? I said it's a what? It's a, you're on the road, then you're on a way of life. It involves not just hearing the word, but you must what? You must do the word. James chapter 1, verse 22, very clear. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourself, because how many know that's what happens to people? They deceive themselves, and God says what? Do what it says. And I really want to encourage you, do what the word of God says, and yes, you'll be on that narrow road. But I want you to see that the two ways of life, one is broad and one is very easy. How many know the broad road is easy to travel? Very easy to get on that road. How many people are going to get on that road? Many, many people will be on that road. Why? That road is easy. You don't have to drop anything. You don't have to submit to Christ, correct? You don't need to repent of anything. You don't need to live a holy life. You don't need to sacrifice a thing. Actually, you don't have to even worry about the cross of Jesus Christ. And don't worry about denying yourself. I mean, that's the what? That's a broad road. Only the broad gate would have allowed room enough for people to bring everything. I mean, that road. You're on that road, you can bring everything. But I want to remind you, Jesus said some hard things in the Bible, wouldn't you agree? Jesus said, forgive one another, did he not? Jesus said in that Sermon on Mount, give, be generous. Jesus says, serve one another. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him in fault just between the two of you. How many are living all this out? I hope you are. Because people on the Broadway do none of this. Correct? They're not going to do the hard thing. They have chosen the easy road. So I want to show you a picture of the broad road, because that's a good picture right there for me. It's spacious, right? And you can bring anything you want, right? Bring your unforgiveness. Bring your arrogance. Bring your pride. Bring your jealousy. Bring anything you want on that road. It's all okay. Why? Because there's few boundaries on this road. There's few curbs. There's few fences. And there's very few walls. Plenty of room, right? Keep your pride. You don't have to forgive everybody. You're selfish. You're fine. You're all good. That is the what? That is the broad road. And that is the road many people are on today. When I look at that picture, boy, does it look good, but it's not. But I do want to say, with that broad road, self-ambition and everything else that we have for ourselves, I do want you to know that road leads to what? Destruction. Two ways. How many know both look the same? People look the same there. Amen? How many know they look the same? I could take Nate and Dan, and there's two people, right? I say, hey, they're here in the church, they're sitting here, they both look the same, aren't they? But how many know they're completely different? They are. And their difference is not on the outside, their difference is where? On the inside. You see, one of these people here could be sitting in church and saying, I'm holding on to unforgiveness. I want to still live for myself. I have pride. I'm going to keep my old ways. Correct? But both of them would look good. But inside is really, really different. You see, on the Broadway, all the desires of the fallen heart, it's all tolerated. Correct? It's all okay, correct? That's why the road is so broad. Everything is tolerated. You don't have to take a stand for anything. Wow. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be on that road. But you see, go to the next chart. One's easy and one's hard. And I want to look at, really, when Jesus said in verse 14, the way is, if you come to the narrow gate, the way is what?
Hard.
So it's not going to be easy for you. So I want to explain to you what the word in the Bible means when it says hard. Because here it means it's pressed. It means it's constricted. It means you're confined. How many know that is totally unlike the Broadway? You are now living the hard way. So you're pressed, you're constricted, you're confined. You see, the narrow way, or the way of life, for this person, really comes down to a life of obedience to the Word of God. Amen? Yes, it's a constricted way, for sure. It's confining, for sure. But that's why Jesus says, be sure when you enter that gate, you count the cost. And I want to say to you, count the cost before you enter that narrow gate, because the way of life you're going to be living is not going to be easy. Amen?
Amen.
I think about what Jesus said, just in a couple more verses on that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them is like the man who built his house on the foundation. Who builds on the foundation? The man who does, hears and does the word of God. That foundation is solid. Only the one built on the foundation of obedience to Christ's word can stand. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You see, you come through the narrow gate. You're stripped. You're bare. But when you come through that gate, you are to continue to walk and live this confined, compressed, narrow way of life where you are submitted to the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You do not come through the gate and then go to the broad way. That is not the sequence God sets up. Amen? The sequence is what? Gate, way, destination. So I encourage you, there's no mixing here, is there? Jesus never mixed the two. Wow. It's very helpful. You come through the narrow gate. You're stripped, you're bare. You cannot get many things through that narrow gate, can you? Then, when you come through that gate, you walk confined, compressed. You walk the narrow way, and Christ is calling for complete obedience to his word. Don't even think about coming to the gate, through that gate, unless your heart is crying out to God and you have made a decision that you would walk the way you're supposed to walk. Don't dare coming in any other way. All God's people said.
Amen.
You see, I love the picture. Can you give me, show me the picture? No, the next one after this one. Can you go back? That last one there with two ways, one easy, one hard. This is what I think of it right there. I love this picture. Hopefully this is you. Maybe it's not. But this is what? This is a constricted way of life. Can't bring much with him in that life, can you? See how he's barely getting through? Doesn't have a lot on his back, does he? It's a picture of a person entering the narrow gate. Can you see yourself in there? You're going through a narrow gate. I'm telling you, you don't have much room to bring a lot of things with you, do you? I really want to encourage you. When you come through that gate, then you should stay on the narrow road, the narrow way of life. Even though your friends and family might not go the same way. You stay on the road. And all God's people said.
Amen.
It is constricted. Back to my story about Al. When Al called me 2 years ago, I encouraged him to get into a church. I said, why don't you become a member of an AA program? I said, I think you need to be rehabbed, and I think you need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, and you need to follow him. I told him I would make phone calls for him. I said, I'd do the best I can, even though you're in Florida. But I think most of you know the rest of the story. Soon Al stopped calling me. He didn't want to hear that anymore. I reached out. He's not reaching back anymore. What do you think of that? That's pretty bad. But how many know that's what happens, right? Well, I got some good news for you. 2 weeks ago, we called again. Yeah, it was Al. This time, his voice was even more broken than it was 2 years ago. This time, he said, I didn't know that living for myself would be so destructive. Really? That's what he said. I didn't know it. I've been arrested again. Second DWI. This time, it's very, very serious, and I may up end in jail. I tried to keep drinking and loving Jesus. Wow. I never was willing to drop the things I should have been dropping. Because all those things I was unwilling to drop have kept me away from Jesus Christ. Can you relate to the story? Don't be so judgmental. Where are you? Are you doing the hard things on the narrow road? Maybe you would say to me, Pastor, I don't have an addiction like Al. But you're still hanging on to a bunch of garbage. You still don't want to forgive. You still get jealous. You get angry. You break relationships. You gossip. You talk about other people behind their back. Oh, you and I might not be the addict, but you're definitely still the sinner. Wow. I guess the question is, like for Al, are you willing to unload? Remember the picture I showed you. You cannot travel the narrow road and be bogged down with all that garbage. And all God's people said. And I want to remind you, because maybe you can relate to Al. I just want to remind you, the words of Jesus are true. Whether you're experiencing them now or not, you are on that Broadway, right? You will be destroyed. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm doing well. Good. You will be destroyed. Correct? It's a wonderful message he gives. But that broad road, what? Always leads to destruction. Two ways, two destinations. But I want to look at this. Notice in number two, notice in verse 14, he says what? The way is broad. And if you're on that broad road, just be sure and guaranteed, because the word of God is true, you will end up in destruction. Done. You might say, I don't want to, but you will. It leads to destruction. But I kind of researched this word on destruction. And it's an interesting word. It really means that the person on this broad road does not stop existing. Notice the distinction I'm making. Destruction does not mean annihilation. Okay, why? Because they're still alive. Do you understand the distinction? They're still alive. They still exist. They continue to exist. And with that continual existence is what? More destruction. I want to give you three ways they'll be destroyed. And not annihilated, destroyed. Number one, three ways, know these ways. Number one, inward experience. That person who is on that wide road is going to be in constant inner turmoil. Do you all understand that? Why? Because they're on that road. It's where it's internal. Number two, it's not only internal, it's what? It's outward. Will they have a destructive effect on the outside for their own life? Yes. The people who are in their lives, can some of that go towards them, like Al? Oh, yeah. So it's not just inward, it's what? It's outward also. They affect other people. And number three, which I think is probably the worst, but it's all bad. Eventually one day, what? There will be condemnation. They will be full of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, not towards annihilation, but living forever and ever in that. The words of Jesus are perfectly clear. Wow. Destruction. But I want you to know about the narrow life, too. I think when you understand the narrow road, we know then that the narrow road doesn't go to destruction. Jesus said, if you follow the sequence, what's the sequence? Narrow gate, narrow road, you now have life. So I looked up this word for life, and Jesus uses the word life just like he did in destruction, but in its fullest sense. Fullest sense. You see, the life Jesus gives us is not just waiting for us till we get to heaven. No. Jesus uses the word life for current, for now. I know sometimes people will say to me, I'll be fine when I get to heaven. Don't be mistaken. I'm not sure your theology is really in line with Jesus's. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it. When does that happen? Right now, the moment you got saved. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, when a person goes through the narrow gate and it's a hard way, you do know that you have what? Life. But this life, just like the destruction for the guy on the wide road, this life has three aspects too. One is inwardly, now, today, right? Why? Because as a follower of Christ, going through that narrow gate, living on that road, you have full access to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You have complete access to peace, do you not? You have complete access to joy, do you not? You have complete access to God's forgiveness of you, do you not? You have complete access. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through Christ we have access now to the Father. So you have life. But not just inwardly, which is wonderful. How many know you've got it outwardly too? Just like the guy who's going to be destroyed, how many know outwardly for the person who has life, Jesus has given them the power to deliver them from all types of bondages, all types of sin, all types of things that might entrap you in a life that will destroy you. He has the power to give you life. John 16:33, Jesus said it clearly. In this world, you will have tribulation or trouble. But what? Take heart. I have overcome the world. Do you know that life? That is the life on the narrow road that you have access to, too. He'll bring you through. He'll help you. And I'm so glad. He'll give you the power to overcome. And last of all, I have to talk about. Okay, so here we go. I want to compare the two because this is Jesus is doing a study of what? Contrast. So if you have either life or destruction, and so if you are going the narrow, then you have rest. If you're on destruction, you have what? Turmoil. Outwardly, the comparison is you can be delivered or you can be destroyed. Eternal, you're either going to be what? Saved or you're going to be condemned. Jesus is very clear about this. Wow. Although sometimes I hear people say to me, Pastor, how do you know you're going to heaven? The answer is I know the sequence. Correct? And what's the sequence? Narrow gate, narrow road, narrow path, and now I have life. How many of you know that? I wonder, some people, I don't know if I'm going. Well, you should. Unless Jesus was lying to you. But he didn't lie. So I have questions about heaven. Do you? I've got a few answers for you this morning. I just want to clear this up. Open up your Bible to Revelation chapter 21. Not only is your life inward, outward, but as a believer, you're going to have eternal life. So I want you to get ready for this. And I don't know about all the books or the movies. I just want to tell you what this book says, okay? Revelation, what it will be like for you. Revelation, let's go to the very end. Revelation chapter 21. Wow, I love this. This is really excites my heart. Revelation 21. Y'all have it? Verse 3. This is in heaven. John says, I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, what? Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will what? Oh, I love that. Do you understand what that's going to be like? You're going to have a glorified body, correct? And every wall that you have set up where you have broke intimacy with Christ will be torn down. Woo! I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. There are days in my life where I go, I just want to be a little bit closer. Listen, when you're in heaven, there will be no barrier. The very life of God will be in you. There will be no wall. You will have complete intimacy with God. Oh, am I not looking forward to heaven? Go down to the next verse. Oh, and I love this. While you're there, he's going to wipe away every tear. There's no more. No more mourning. There's going to be no more. And the old order, thank God, is going to all be passed away.
Amen.
Let me give you the good news. You're not going to need a doctor. Why not? Because you're never going to be sick. You'll never need the funeral home. Why? Because you're never going to die. You won't need the nurse to take care of you because he'll take care of you. Do you understand what this is going to be like? I go, oh, thank you, God. Oh, my gosh, what a great life. Yeah, I love that. No pain. Oh, and I love. Let's go over to 22. This is the one I've been really kind of studying, and that's 22. Revelation 22. Yeah. He says there in verse 3, the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will be serving him. I wonder what you're going to be doing. You will be what? Yeah, but you don't need a doctor. What are all you doctors going to do? You won't need a nurse. We're definitely probably not going to need your services with taxes. We're not going to be building any more buildings, right? I wonder what my job's going to be. You think you'll still let me preach or not? I think I might be preaching. The good news is I won't have to say a word about sin because there will be none. And pastor, there's no retirement. You won't need retirement. You're going to live forever and ever. And you're going to have the life of God in you all day long. You're not going to have to go to the light and turn on the light. Right? His presence with you will be light. You'll never have to shut the light off. You're in His presence day and night. And it never stops. And you'll never get tired. Never get tired. Can you imagine that? He can't wait for that. I can't wait for that. How does this all work? Let's go through the sequence. You go through the narrow gate. You stay on the narrow road. And your promise is life. Did you all know this, all this before? Al didn't know it. Well, maybe he knew it. He just decided, what? It's too hard. I don't know about you, but when I know the end result, I'm all right. I may have to go through some hard things, but I know where I'm going. It's okay. I hope it is with you too. But I want to remind you, the sad thing is, so many people are going to still be looking for the Broadway. Why? Because it is easy and simple. But that road marked heaven is going to hell. Correct? Yes. You know why? And I think this is sad because I don't think, like Al, they look to what the lifestyle would lead to. Let me say that again because some of you might not be doing this one. That lifestyle, how many know it leads somewhere? The destructive one will lead to destruction, the wide one. The narrow one will lead to life. Sometimes people don't look that far ahead. I want to encourage you. You need to look ahead.
Amen.
Look ahead. I just got a call from Al. The last call I had from Al, Al shared with me the destruction of his life. And he said clearly, I'm walking on the Broadway. A life that is followed by many leads to destruction. Can I tell you what he said to me? Over the phone. Now with my second DWI. Now that my daughter won't talk to me. Now that I can't see my grandchildren. Now that this woman I was running after wants nothing to do with me. I'm at the bottom. Pastor, I'm serious. Wow. But the good news is, and I give Al a lot of credit, he said this, Pastor, the life I lived, I destroyed. Boy, was I happy. He's taking responsibility for his own destruction. No one did this to me, Pastor. I did it. I chose that path. I've destroyed my own life. And the good news is, probably for the real first time, I heard, I need Jesus Christ in my life. How many know what I'm talking about? You hit the bottom. Wow. How about you? Is the path you are on right now, today, is it leading you to life or is it leading you to death? Ask the question. Wow. I think about a man who's been in this church for 20 years. He knew all he needed to know about Jesus, right? But he never got serious with Jesus. He never walked the narrow way. He was casual. He was caught up in the world. He was caught up in his own life, and he wanted success from the world, and he followed what he wanted to follow. It was broad. Oh, it looked easy, but it was leading where? he was being destroyed. And he had destroyed his own life. I wonder sometimes, for us, you may say, well, Pastor, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. And while some of you, in your own life, you're healed and you're restored, I really want to say, how many know there are places that are in you, in your heart, in your attitudes, in your actions, that will reap destruction for you? Some of you already know your attitudes and your actions have already, you've already lost friends. You've already lost people in your life you love. You already know you didn't do the hard thing. You know you didn't do it. You lost jobs, some of you, walking in sorrow. You've lost a lot. You're like a minefield with battlefields of your life laying strewn all over. Everything is blown up in your life. You're still filled with sadness. You're guilty. You're prideful. You're arrogant. What road are you on? What road are you on? I want to say to you today, it's time to choose life. I guess some of us are going to have to be willing to do the hard thing and pray for Al. Because when Al said, I'll do it tomorrow, I got worried. Because that mentality means he's going back to alcohol. Right? I said, do it now. Do it today. Stop making excuses. And I'm sure he would say, it's too hard. Your life will be destroyed. I want to say the same thing to myself and to you. Yes, you do have to make the hard choices. Yes. Yes, you do have to do the hard thing. But I want to promise you what Jesus promised. Life. And life abundantly. You'll be fine. You follow the Lord. And the many people around you who don't, you stay on that pathway. Amen? You stay on it. For many will go that way. I want to close with this. Where Jesus contemplates the final destiny which men arrive at by the two gates. I picked this picture out because I kind of like this picture too. Because every time I see that big gate, it's called what? Paradise. Let's all go to paradise. It's easy. You'll have the time of your life. It'll be great. We'll all have a party. Yeah. You all know where that road leads, right? That's leaving where? You will be destroyed. You will be. Make no doubt about it. But I love the other picture. You see the other one? You see that little gate? It's a narrow gate, isn't it? You see the path? What's the path look like? And where are they going in that path? They're going right up to the cross. I'm headed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's narrow, and there's not a whole lot coming, but guess what? I'm going. And I love that little kind of rainbow at the end. I don't know if you can see the rainbow. Because, well, there's life after that, too. How many of you think those thousands of people who heard Jesus preach got all this? Which road are you on, by the way? Are you doing the hard thing? Are you forgiving people you're having a hard time with? Are you repaying people back the money you owe them? Are you doing it? Or are you still saying, let me get away. I still want to do my own thing. You do the hard thing. Do the hard thing. Amen? The Lord will help you. The Lord will help you do it. He will. But I believe today we have to make a decision which road you want to live on. Amen? And ask yourself which one you're on. And don't be deceived. Don't be just merely a person who hears, but they what? They deceive who? Themselves. You're only deceiving yourself. You're not deceiving anybody but yourself. You are to be a doer. You read this, and you go, I'll do what this book says. No matter what it costs me, I will do it. Hard, difficult. I will get my strength from the Lord. My God will help me, and I will be fine. In closing this morning,